Thankful that you are here. And yes, Die Hard 1 and Die Hard 2 are Christmas movies. Just so you guys all have that clarity. There's no argument. It's done. It's over. Maybe the best Christmas movies of all time. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for me was awesome. It was the first time in about 5 months that we had all of the kids under the same roof. And I love my kids, but I'm kind of excited that when they all go, because then I will be able to take a hot shower. But when you're during this period of time, you have a little extra time. You notice certain things, whether you're out shopping, whether you're out, you're just driving, you have a couple days off. And typically during this time, I look at my journal. I read a little bit and some of the notes I've taken down. And also, when you look around, you just notice some weird things. And I didn't actually see these things, but a couple things reminded me. And I was like, oh, I got to go back to this. And so like 4 months ago, I took a picture of some of these from the interwebs. And I said, I'm going to use this one day. So today's the day we're going to use it. It's really about disclaimers, right? And so I want to show you the first one. I think the first one is, this is a disclaimer warning. This machine does not know the difference between metal and flesh, nor does it care. That's a great sign, right? Another good sign, I think this is one, do not enter, your GPS is wrong. That's awesome. Another funny disclaimer, now pet friendly except for the bears, we're not making that mistake again. I'm not sure how that went. And this is probably my favorite. Remember what the valet looked like who parked your car, because we do not have valet parking. That is always, always awesome. Just a disclaimer. I want to give a disclaimer today as well. I love God. I love His Word. I love people. I love connecting with people, getting to hear people's stories. I know sometimes I have a mean exterior. Sometimes people look at me, is he mad? No, that's just how I look. I'm actually a teddy bear. I love people. I love hearing people's stories. I take a lot of people out for lunch. But my disclaimer is, most likely at the end of this message, you're not going to like me. You're probably not going to like what I'm going to say. You're probably going to be mad at me. I did this once before at another church, and they were very, very mad at what I had to say. And I've tried to figure out how to soften some of these punches, but it's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. At least I think it's hard. Some of you are like, that wasn't that bad. Some of you are like, I'm totally offended. I'm never coming back. And why did you choose, of all sermons, to preach on this during Thanksgiving? I got family here. It's just how it is. We're in this incredible story. And so if you are new to church, if you're new to God, this is actually not for you. But you're going to learn a lot of cool stuff, because you're going to hear and hopefully see the heart of God. So it's going to be an interesting day. You guys ready? He's just like, yeah, I'm ready to get punched in the face. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word, for your message. I pray, Lord God, that we will be able to hear and receive what you have in store for us. In your precious name, amen. We have been in this series, probably a series that is probably about the most famous person, or the most famous story in all the Bible. It's a guy and a fish. Now, I do believe that this guy had a fish encounter, but we started this series about 3 weeks ago called Jonah and the City. And if you're here for the first time or haven't been here for a while, it's like you're walking into the last 20 minutes of a movie. So let me give you a quick review. Jonah is this prophet of God. He's been sitting on the sidelines for a long, long, long time. He's like, hey, God, I'm here. I'm ready to do whatever you want. God kind of puts him on the bench, and God finally calls him and says, hey, Jonah, I have an assignment for you. And Jonah's like excited, double thumbs up. All right, I'm ready. He says, hey, I want you to go and talk to the people of Nineveh. Now, Jonah had a problem. He hated the people in Nineveh. And so instead of doing what God asked him to do, he decided to run. I think that's a lot of us. I know that's me sometimes. God asked me to do something, I just want to run. He gets in this ship, he pays for this voyage, and instead of going like one way, he goes in the opposite direction. He was supposed to go to like modern-day Iraq, but he starts heading towards Spain. And then he gets on this ship, and all of a sudden, this huge storm, it's supernatural, it's huge, it's big. The sailors have no idea how to man this storm, and they're in this incredible storm, and Jonah knows exactly why the storm came, and so he goes down below, and he goes to bed. He falls asleep, and everyone's trying to figure out, so they finally wake him up, and he's like, hey, what's going on? He's like, yeah, my bad. Yeah, I ran away from God, and this is God trying to get my attention. And so how do we fix this situation? And Jonah's like, well, I guess I could probably apologize to God, but probably the best route is just throw me overboard. And so they reluctantly throw Jonah overboard, and miraculously, the storm disappears. Supernatural. God sends an Uber to pick up Jonah, right? And a fish, right? Jonah's in there, and he gets thrown up on this beach. I know it's a crazy story, but it's bigger than just a guy and a fish. Jonah is there now. He looks a little bit disgusting, to be quite frank. God calls on Jonah a second time. He says, hey, I got an assignment for you. And I just want to pause here because we talked about this last week. God has never given up on Jonah. Hear me on this. God has never given up on Jonah. And let me tell you this, and make it a little personal. God has never given up on you either. That is huge. That is magnanimous. That is one of those things like, really? Yeah, God has not given up on you. You may be sitting here this morning and you feel like God hasn't given up. That's a lie. God has never given up on you. He didn't give it up on Jonah. He hasn't even given up on these people that Jonah doesn't like. He didn't give up on the city or the people of Nineveh. Jonah hears this message and he goes into Nineveh, a group of people that he hates, he despises, and he comes up with this message. He says, okay, I'm gonna have this message. It's only 9 words, and I'm gonna put my Jermaine spin on it. Essentially, his message was, y'all going to hell, y'all going to hell. I mean, that was his message. He was like, I can't wait till you guys hear this message. I think Jonah is like, I'm hoping, dare I say, I'm even praying that you would hear God's message and turn away from it and reject it so God can judge you. I mean, that's how Jonah is thinking, and instead of people rejecting the message, people actually, like, this is the worst message ever, but I believe in Jesus. That's awesome. That makes me feel good as a preacher, you know? God's able to do some incredible things. Now, these people not only hear this message, they receive it. Everyone from the king down, they repent and turn from their evil ways and begin to turn to God. This is amazing. Now, if I am the writer of this story, I would stop there. Chapter 3, be like, okay, the preacher is the hero. Sunset, music playing in the background. Everything is great. Everything is dandy. However, the story doesn't end there. In fact, and this is just me, I think this is probably one of the saddest sections of the Bible. Jonah should have been happy. Jonah should have been like, man, this is incredible. This is great. I mean, God, you are a loving God. You're a merciful God. You even used me. God, you know, there was some miracles that was going on. In fact, there are 10 miracles in the book of Jonah. Jonah was like, man, this is incredible. You love me so much. You've given me this assignment to talk to these people, and you love these people so much, and you're willing to give them a second chance, just like you gave me a second chance. And God, you even turned my really, really bad message, my pathetic message, I only put like 3 seconds in, you turned that for your glory. All honor and praise goes to you, God. And that's how Jonah should have responded. But he doesn't. Jonah turns into a hater. You know that song, the great theologian, Taylor Swift, you know, haters gonna hate. Hate. Did I get that right? Is it 3 hates or 4 hates? I don't know. God, Jonah learns something, and God's trying to show him that God is not a hater, but actually God loves haters. You might be wishing right now that God hated the same people you hate. Guess what? God isn't a hater. And he's challenging us not to be haters too. So let's see. If you have your Bibles, Jonah chapter 3. We're going to look at Jonah 3, the last verse, verse 10. It'll be up on your screen if you didn't bring your Bible. We also have the YouVersion app. We encourage you to open the Bible on your phone, your tablet. I'm using it right here. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they, this is the city, this is the people, what they did and how they turned from the evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. The people of Nineveh listened and actually did what God asked them to do. They listened to Jonah's words as a preacher. That makes you feel good, you know, like they actually did what I actually said that they should do. He should be happy. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. That word, very wrong, is the word rahre. Everyone say rahre. Rahre. This paints a picture. This word paints a picture that you are so angry that you are trembling. Anybody been there? You're like, you're so mad. You're physically like, you know? And then it goes on, it says, and he became angry. Not only is he like so mad that he's shaking, he's also angry. That word paints a picture that he is on fire, that he is probably shaking and red. Jonah isn't just annoyed, he is at rage, and he just hates these people so much because he wanted them to reject God so that they can be destroyed. And this is crazy to me. This is how our human condition is so messed up. You've got to imagine Jonah. He is so angry that he begins to pray. This is funny to me. He prayed. Look at this prayer. He prayed to the Lord. Now, when I read the Bible, I kind of get into it and I maybe go too far. So he's mad. Isn't this what I said, Lord? When I was still at home, right? This is why I tried to forestall by fleeing into Tarshish. And he's so angry. I knew that you were gracious. I hate that about you. And your compassion, oh, that gets on my last nerve. This is the best one. Slow to anger. Like, really? Dude, do you realize what's coming out of your mouth? Slow to anger and abounding in love. A God who relents from sending calamity. Jonah knows the heart of God. He is ticked off. He is so mad. He is trembling. He is angry. Maybe he's even drawing blood in his own hands. Verse 3, now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. Really? I mean, this is how mad he was. In other words, Jonah's like, I don't want to be known as the guy that shares the gospel to people I don't like. Really? These people are bad. These people are mean. You should just destroy these people. Wipe these people out. I love how the Lord responds. Verse 4. Is it right for you to be angry? Point number one, if you're a note taker, haters misunderstand God's character. Jonah wanted God to hate the same people he hated. Better yet, Jonah wanted these people to think that God actually hates them. That's how mad he is. He is mad because he knows God's true character and nature. He just experienced it. That God is loving and merciful and gracious. And guess what? I'm guilty of that as well. Maybe you're here. Maybe there are someone you actually or people you actually hate. But that's one side of that. And maybe you're like, I'm not really I don't have hate for these other people. But maybe it shows up in another way. Maybe it shows up this way, where you emphasize someone else's sin and you have a disdain for their sin, but you're sinning and you're not really talking about it. We got real, didn't we? Or maybe it's a sin that you're like, man, look at them. And then you're like, I'm struggling with this over here. Look at those people over there. And I'm struggling at night looking at the internet. Or I'm struggling with my gossip or my words or my heart, whatever. It's so easy to point fingers. It's so easy to be angry. And then we're not angry about the struggles that we have. God is trying to teach Jonah something here, that he is good and he is loving, and even to the people that Jonah thinks they don't deserve it. Jesus says this in Matthew 5. It'll show up on your screen. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, exclamation point. Really, Jesus? Pray for those who persecute? No. TV timeout. We can't be doing that. And that way you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Rain back then was a blessing. For you love only though, if you love only those who love you, what reward is that for you? Even tax collectors, which is the worst, do that much. Before knowing God, we all of us were far from God, and we didn't deserve to be even in his presence. We didn't even deserve to have him smile on us. What we deserved is God to just annihilate us and just blast us into oblivion. Instead, he chooses to love us into his kingdom. And the only way we haters become lovers is not by hating in return, but actually learning and receiving God's love and then loving others as well, even the people we don't like or don't get along with, or people who have different views than us, whether it's politically, whether it's values, whatever it is. That's what God's called us to. Yeah, they can still be wrong, but I can still love you. I can care for you. I can pray for you, not to pray that you would get your life right. I can pray that you can come to Jesus. Maybe that's a prayer we need to be praying. Verse 5. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. He's ticked off of God. Then he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Jonah is still hoping that God will like change his mind. Please destroy the city. Please destroy the city. Please destroy the city. He doesn't. Verse 6, then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. He's experiencing and seeing a miracle, okay? Supernatural. This doesn't just happen in seconds. God does it. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. He's like, man, God sent me a plant. It's a little weird, but okay. Verse 7, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so it would wither. Verse 8, when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. There he goes again. Point number 2. Haters have a mistaken perspective. I mean, you've got to understand something. Jonah is in a fish for 3 days. Most likely, you know, him being from the Middle East, most likely his skin is bleached. Most likely he's looking a different color. God says, I'm going to send you like instant suntan. You know how we have suntan rooms? I don't really go to suntan rooms. Some of you guys got that. Some of you guys, it'll take you a minute to get it. He's like, I'm going to give you color back, all right? We're going to work on that. I'm going to give you some shade. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give you some peace. But I also don't want you to sit here all daggone day and just wallow and weep. Jonah wants God, remember this, Jonah wants God to kill these people, but he's totally bummed out now about a plant that he provided, that God provided, and now is dead. Jonah's perspective was all about him. God, why would you make me do something like this? Why would you make me go to these people that don't know you to actually show them that you actually love them? And then they turn and they repent. I'm like, why would you do that, God? Why would you make me do that? Why would you use someone like me, someone who's like maybe a B team or C team squad prophet? I'm not even on JV. Like, why would you use someone like, I'm not that educated. I'm not that smart. I don't have all these gifts. I'm not that talented. I've been sitting over here for years and years and years. Why would you use someone like me? And then you use someone like me, you would use the message that I gave, you somehow, some way would take that message that people would hear it and receive it and their lives be drastically changed. Why would you do that to me, God? This is Jonah's perspective. And then he's like, man, I'm totally bummed out. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to provide you rest. I'm going to provide you shade. I'm going to provide you something that you don't necessarily deserve. I'm going to give it to you anyway. It is so interesting how fickle we are with our perspectives. And a lot of times we look at, quote unquote, the negative side of things. And sometimes we forget that God's actually doing some work. Maybe in our lives. Maybe he's challenging with something. Maybe he's taking something away so that we can actually turn to him. You ever think about that? No, we're more obsessed with the things that God has taken us away. Or God hasn't given me this. I told you you're not going to like me after this message. And Jonah thinks if I can, and Jonah even goes as crazy as this, if I can give a really, really bad message, these people will reject it and God will punish them. Because that's what I want. How's your compassion towards other people? Matthew 9, this is Jesus again. This is his own words. I mean, if you ever spent time just reading about Jesus, you may not think he's all lovey-dovey as you think he is. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. This is the really loving part. He says in verse 7, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. And I love this. So pray, excuse you, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send some people, just like y'all. Verse 9. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry about that plan? I love, this is the boldness of Jonah. He's like, it is. Is there every, yep. Side note. If you ever read the book of Psalms, David gets ticked off at God. Not once, several times. In my counsel, the people, and again, I am probably one of the worst counselors of all time. When people come to me and say, I need counsel, I tell them right up front, I'm not a good counselor. I'm going to tell you like it is, and you're not going to like me. That's just how it is. And I have people come to me, they say, I still want to be punched in the face. I said, all right, I'll punch you in the face. There are times where we are, and hear me on this, this is a freebie. This is, you don't have to charge you for it. If you're angry at God, God is big enough to take your anger. If you are angry at God, God's like, bring it. Come on, give it all to me. I'll take all of it. God, I don't like this, I don't like this. He's just like, go ahead, take it. I believe this is biblical, that you can give anger to over to God. You say, God, here's all the things I've done. Here's all the things I'm angry about. But here's the catch. God's like, okay, let's walk through these. Can we journey through these? You know, can we walk through these? And that's where we're like, no, because I know how you are. You'll probably turn it back on me and you'll show how I've been like kind of foolish and how all the things that you provided for me and blessed me like over the years and like how you blessed me with just life and I just woke up and that's a blessing. You know, I don't really want to work through those things. God's like, bring me your anger. Let's work through it. Let's talk with it. But I love this about God. God's also like this. I know it's going to take time for different people, but make sure we move beyond this. Let's not just stay here. And we as human beings, we as Western human beings, we like to linger with what people have done centuries ago to us, collectively and personally. My dad did not get me my BMX bike, and I am ticked off at him, and it lasts forever. And at some point in time, like, okay, let's move. God's like, okay, let's take that wound. Let's use that wound. Let's move to the next level. And I don't want to be so insensitive because I know there's much more stronger and heavier things than that. So don't hear like he's so insensitive. God may journey you through those things. He will build you up to this. It's not going to be overnight, but he's like, hey, can we take a journey so we can take a step forward? Because I want to use that. I want to use you. All right, side note over. Okay. Is it right for you to be angry? That I show mercy to others? Is it right for you to be angry that I'm slow to wipe out people? Or is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry that I give you a plant and provide a plant for you and I allow it to grow and I allow it to give you rest? Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry that I'm a graceful God? Is it rightful for you to be angry that I don't want you to sit here forever and ever and ever and not move on to the next step? Is it right? Verse 11. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who can't tell the right hand from the left? And then God throws in a slinger in there. And the animals too? Like, what the animals got to do with this? That's how messed up these people are. They don't know their right hands from the left hands. And even the animals don't even know their right from the left. You know why this is so sad? This is the end. It just stops. Man, I hate movies that just stop. I want to know the whole story. It just stops. What happened to Jonah? Jonah. In other words, Jonah, I think what God's trying to say, Jonah, I want you to have the same concern that I have for people. Jonah, I want you to care for people like I care for people, even if you don't agree with them. The story just ends. And sometimes we are so blatantly angry, and if you haven't caught on, Jonah is actually angry at God. And sometimes we used to be so blatantly angry at God, we tell God, I'm not going to do this, but I'm going to dive into at least a week of sin. That's how mad I am at you, God. I'm going to do my own thing for the next week or the next month. I'm just going to totally ignore you. Let me ask you something. It don't work out well for you. It ain't going to work out well if you decide to do that. And some of us, we do that and we get messed up more. And God's like, oh, I can take your anger. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. But let's move forward. But then that's one level of anger. That's one level of anger that some of us struggle with or have struggled with. But I think there's another level of anger. I call it anger on the down low. What do you mean by that? Well, God, I know this is what you want me to do, but I'm too busy. I'm busy right now. You don't understand. I got this going on. I know you've asked me to do something, God, but I'm a little too busy. God, I'm not qualified, God. I know this is what you want me to do, but I'm not qualified. I'm busy and I'm not qualified. And God, I know that you're asking me to do this, but I got to do this first. I got to care for this person. As soon as this person doesn't need my help anymore, then I can start helping you out. And I call it, I'm not saying no, God. I'm just saying a future yes. like when things get settled down, then I will start doing what you asked me to do. God pursued this city. He pursued the people of Nineveh. He pursued Jonah. He simply wanted Jonah to do not only what he asked him to do, but he wanted to have compassion for people. God calls us to do the same. In fact, Jesus pursued you and I by dying on the cross for your sins and my sins and by taking the punishment, but he also rose from the dead. He defeated the sting of death. So when you're, quote unquote, having a bad day or you're ticked off, and again, I might want to disqualify this, but sometimes we have to return to this is what Jesus did for me. Here's the thing, Jesus is relentless in his pursuit. Not only does he die on the cross, he's like, man, I want to bless you. I want to actually use you. I want to actually heal you. I want to actually give you things. I want to do so much in and through you. It's not the end of the story. Again, this is Jesus saying this. This is a very, very famous passage for us church people. Matthew 28, 16 says this. Usually we look at the last few verses, but I wanted to start at 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. They are doing actually what Jesus died, right? And he's like, okay, I'm going to rise from the dead. I want you to go here, meet me here. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I'm like, how do you doubt the guy that just rose from the dead, okay? Verse 18, then Jesus came to them, even though what some of them doubting, he said this, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have taught you. I'm giving you an assignment. You're in. And surely I am always with you This is an assignment for Jesus. This wasn't a one time. Jesus does this over and over again. In Matthew 16, 15, he says, "Now go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations." In Acts 1, 8, Jesus again, he says, "You will receive power, not fake power, but real power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And Paul comes in, he throws his shot in Romans 1. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentiles." Being a Christ follower, someone who says, "I love Jesus," is more than just serving Jesus and hoping that I live in such a great manner that people just look at you, man, you're like a rock star, or, you know, I'm just going to start following Jesus because you're awesome. And that's part of it. Yes, we need to live out our faith. We need to walk the walk, but we also, hear me on this, folks, we also need to proclaim God's word. I didn't get it loud enough, amen. So let me look, let's see what Jesus says. Mark 13, he says, "For the good news," talking about the scripture, "must be preached to all nations." Romans 10, 17, "So faith comes from hearing." That's the hearing the word of God, the good news about God. And amazingly, people, hear me on this, God wants to use people like you. And you say, "Well, I'm not that bad." Look at Jonah. Look how bad this dude is. There are two clips I want to show you real quick. Go ahead and put the first one up. Sit back, relax.
I want to talk to you about this. I get home from the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and, you know, sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done. Big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from that in his hand because we give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, it's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, "I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. I wanted," and he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, you know, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. He said nice stuff. And then he said, "I brought this for you." And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, you know. He said, "I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing." And then he said, "I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy." And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it